Go up it.
Wait, will you, can I like see your whole face?
Sorry, what? You cut
Can
out
you
for a
lean
second.
your computer down so I can see your whole face?
No.
Okay.
Because I'm literally scrunched up in bed.
Okay.
You get just the peepers.
Just the peepers.
Just the peepers. Here, I'll move. 1 second. There, now you can see my eyes.
Wait, what did you change?
I moved my screen around so I'm less distracted and not looking at the very bottom of the screen because then my eyes look closed.
Oh,
They're
that's
a bit
really
more
funny.
open.
Yeah, for the viewers at home, I can just see from like right below Shoshana's nose.
Put it on the Instagram, baby.
Your eyes are fully closed. It looks like you're asleep.
You're welcome. There's that better.
No, because
That's
what
not better.
I'm wanting to see your whole face, not your eyes.
That's fucking rude. Hi guys. Hey Bups.
Up, y'all.
Hey Tiny Bups.
Here we are.
How are you? I don't know. We already caught up. We had our chat. I'm
We're
low
both
end.
doing, yeah, we're
I'm
both
low
doing
end.
fine.
I'm low end.
Yeah.
Should we go straight in it? Do you want to preamble?
I don't really have a preamble. I'm also very tired. Yeah, we didn't really plan well when we decided to live in the furthest
Different countries.
continents from each other.
Well, yeah, that's our bad. We should have planned that better.
I was just going to
You
try to convince you to move to New York again. I
keep trying to do that.
think you'd like it.
I don't know. New York kind of like it's so hectic. I was talking to someone at this conference I was at. Did I mention I went to a conference? Anyway, and she was from Israel, and we were both just like, we can't handle it. Like I can't handle the fast paced. Like everyone's trying to put, like bowl you over in the street to get where they need to go, right? It's like I always have Gilmore Girls music playing in my head where it's like la 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 la. Because it's just like it's calm, it's chill, like everyone's by the beach, everyone's just having a good time, and I'm not like crazy stressed, you know?
Well, okay, so in Brooklyn, it's not quite, I agree. Manhattan is like a rat race. Like every time I had to go into Manhattan for this teacher training, and it was like every time I was like, oh my God, there's just so many people here all trying to get places.
Yeah.
I did drive in Manhattan for the first time because we
Ew.
took a car. We're in Pennsylvania. So we took a car and I had to drive through the city and I got cut off so many times. I was like, I get
That's
it. You have somewhere to be.
yeah. I'm just like, I don't need it. Brooklyn, I've been to Brooklyn. The places I've been in Brooklyn, I'm like, not enough trees. There's too much concrete.
What are you talking about? There's like the most beautiful park in Brooklyn that's like, it's better than Central Park. I'll just say it. Prospect Park is better.
Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato, you know? So how they say it.
No, like in Prospect Park, you can be, when you're in the park, you can't see the buildings around you. It feels like you're in nature.
I don't know, not for me.
Okay, well, we'll continue to negotiate, I guess.
Well, I don't negotiate with terrorists, Valerie. Yeah, I don't know. I like Sydney. I was like very briefly considered Melbourne this week because of again this conference and just there's lots of interesting education things happening. Who knows where I'll end up? I don't know. Maybe I'll live under a bridge, become a troll. That's how I make my money. I just start asking for fares to cross bridges like a troll.
I mean, yeah. It doesn't seem that far from what you're doing on your Instagram and getting offered partnerships.
It's true. But like less troll action, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like stop wary travelers as they go along their route.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. Do we have a pop culture movie this week? Do you have one?
Do you have one?
I like I had one that I thought of in the shower before I came to this shindig. But then I've just been, I like binge watched the second I could, as quickly as I could, the new League of Their Own series. Like they remade the movie into the series. And it's so good. Because I've been waiting for it for a very, very long time. And it was so good. And I like am just like I know I shouldn't watch it again that soon, so I'm holding off on doing a rewatch, but it's so good and it's so gay. And you should definitely watch it if you haven't watched it yet.
What platform is it on?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Ugh.
Ugh. It's really good, I promise.
Okay. I'll watch it. I'll watch it in support of the gays, but I am not supporting Amazon.
Yeah, just you don't have to, but it's just really good.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got Abby Jacobson and it's got Darcy Carden and it's got those are the biggest names in the show. They're the main ones. And it's got the guy from Suits, he's there. And it's great. And there's so much to I don't know how you haven't seen all the TikTok content for it, because everyone's watching it. And it's making me a bit mad that like people say this a lot, that like media literacy is at an all-time low and that people just don't know how to talk about, you know, what they're consuming on a daily basis. And it's never been more apparent to me because there's this one point where like a character is explicitly gay. Like it's not even subtext, it is text. She says, like, she doesn't say the words, I am a lesbian, but it's like she goes, gotta protect, you know, we gotta protect our kind. Like literally, that's what she says. It matches up with her actions throughout the rest of the show, what she's been doing. It's like she's gay, like that is. And it's this person on TikTok's like, I think I pieced together an Easter egg from the show. I don't know if the writers intended this or not. And I'm like, it's literally, oh my, like it made me so mad. I had to turn off my phone for a bit. Like, oh my God. It was just crazy.
That's
But besides for that, I'm very happy with this show.
yeah, because we've been at this little retreat, I would
Retreat.
say.
I don't know if your phone's blowing up, but my phone's blowing up because someone's liking every single one of our pop culture partial Instagram posts right now.
Oh, my phone isn't next to me. That's really funny. Oh, I do have a pop culture moment, which
Go
is
for it.
similar. This is just pop culture moment has just become whatever media we're consuming. I see.
That's not true. I have a whole list, but I had to cancel it just to talk about League of Their Own for a second.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because I came ill prepared, I have been watching Instant Home Remodel, Instant Home Makeover. It's on Netflix. It's new. But Danielle Brooks is the host. And it's
Yeah.
what they do is they go in and they basically people have nominated their friends for a home makeover show, but then they've told them that they didn't get it or whatever. And then they take them away for 12 hours from the house and then they like totally remake over their house in that 12 hours.
Oh my God, that sounds stressful.
It is definitely stressful. Yeah, I'm like a little unsure. They're not very clear about like if things ever don't get done. Like they're
Right.
all the time, they're like, we're running out of time. But then I'm like, but did anything have to get cut? Like they're not really, they'll like negotiate the number of hours things take. Anyway, they're not so clear on how that all works. But what's funny is that Danielle Brooks is the host, right, from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
And like most of the white families like don't recognize her, but now they've had like a couple like people don't recognize her even though she's like very famous, and like
Right.
it's just like so funny. And I think now I've noticed that it's like the white families have no idea who she is, but when they like make over a black family's home, like they get excited that she's a celebrity.
Right. That's what's so funny.
They gave this woman, they like added a bathroom to this woman's house. Like they literally like brought in a pre-made bathroom and like added it on. It was crazy. And the woman is like sitting in the tub and she's telling Danielle like how much it means to her to like have her own bathroom because it was a family of four sharing one bathroom, whatever. And And Danielle is like, yeah, I want to come over here and use this tub. And the woman is just so funny. She's like, when I say anytime, like, you can come over anytime. It was like really cute.
My family friends were in one of those my makeover shows once.
Oh, really?
And they gave them like a new hallway and like the living room, dining room, and kitchen, and like the amount of stuff that they use for the staging that they like have to give back, and like this, like a lot of it's like very clearly like quickly done, is really interesting. But yeah,
right, I have that question as well of like how much, like if things don't get done, do they come back and finish them? Yeah. I also am always curious about like what happens like a year from now, like how much do they like keep the space the way it is versus, yeah,
it's true. Yeah,
but yeah, it's show it seems like people get really excited, like they've done some like pretty cool stuff, and it seems like they choose people based on like they like give back to their community, they like deserve something like this. Yeah.
Sorry, you're not boring me, it's just late at night and I'm tired.
Anyway, so that's my pop culture moment, basically, is people not knowing who Danielle Brooks is.
That's fair. It's a good moment. I like it. Should we jump in?
Yeah, should we summarize the Parsha? I also have to tell you, I have to stop before 9:30, or I have an hour, basically, less than an hour.
Okay, we'll go quick. We already done 20 minutes worth. Okay, so this week's Parsha is Parshas Akev. We're still, again, for the third time, repeating what's happening, because we're still in Devarim. But this part begins with a promise, and we're told that if we keep Hashem's commandments, then we get blessed. And that we shouldn't fear our enemies because Hashem will deliver them into our hands. And then we have to destroy all of the Canaanite idols. And then we talk a bit more about being in the desert for 40 years and all of the different tests and miracles that happened. And then Moshe talks about like all of the amazing things about Eretz Yisrael, even though he's never been there. And then Moshe like warns them that they can never forget that all of their wealth really comes from God. And if they do, then they'll be destroyed and ruined. And then he talks about how like he puts them in their place, because he's like, you're not getting this land because you're good people. You're getting this land because Hashem made a promise to your forefathers, which is a bit dog of him per se. One of my students is obsessed with the term dog water. Everything's dog water. So I'm going to use that now. It's a bit dog water of Moshe to, I actually don't know if you do dog water things or you are dog water. The context within which my student uses this word is varied a lot of the time. So I'm just going to not use it. I'm not going to use it. I take it back. I retract. I'm not using dog water.
Could you just like, what does it mean? It's referring to like dog water. What does that mean?
I don't know. Everything's just dog water.
Like a dog's water bowl. Like it's dirty.
I don't know. I'll ask him on Friday when I see him.
That's actually one of the things I can't wait for, is to, you know, get the hip lingo from my fourth and fifth graders.
Nah, it's dog water, bro. It's so dumb. They just swear a bunch and then say dog water. Okay. He tells, where was I? He tells them that like it's because of the forefathers. Right. And then he takes more time to remind them of all the times they annoyed God in the desert, especially with the golden calf and all of that stuff. And that they'd be dead if it wasn't for Moshe. Moshe gets a lot out of this week's parasha. He's been a passive aggressive king. He's been holding it in this whole time. And now he's just like, you guys sucked. You guys didn't do anything right. You're not getting this land because of you. You're getting it because of your forefathers. And then he talks about the golden calf some more. And about the new Ten Commandments, which Hashem told him to carve. Because he had to replace them because he destroyed the other ones because of the golden calf thing. And then Moshe tells the people that they have to love and fear Hashem and serve Hashem. He talks about how great Hashem is, and then Hashem chose them, and that's really amazing. And that Hashem made so many miracles for them since they left Egypt. And then Moshe tells them that Israel is dependent on Hashem for rain, and that they have to pray for it, and they have to be good in order to get rain. And then there's the second paragraph of Shema, and then it talks a bit more about rain and harvest. And then we commanded about praying and about tefillin and mezuzah and to teach Torah to our children. And then Moshe says right at the very end that if they follow Hashem's ways and they cling to Hashem, then they will easily get Israel and stay there, and that no one will challenge them and everything will be fine. And that's the parsha.
Wow. That's the parsha.
It is the parsha.
I don't really have anything to say about it.
No, it's just like, again, we're telling us the stories. We've been where we are. We know this stuff. We know most of it. We're revisiting old things. Moshe's in his swan song.
Yeah.
Named for the famous swan.
The thing that's different in the parsha is really the conversation about rain, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But I feel like we're just revisiting these same old things from the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So do I tell everyone what we watched? What dumb movie we watched?
We watched Big Fish, 2003.
Ooh.
Movie. Tim Burton movie, but it's live action, which apparently was a mistake for him. A frustrated son tries to determine the fact from fiction in his dying father's life. That's the summary.
This movie was not good.
No, I didn't like it.
I was not a fan. I also watched it on 1.5 speed when I like got 20 minutes in, and I was like, I'm not vibing. So I just made it go really, really fast, which made it really funny, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not a fan. I don't know if I should say this. First of all, I'll say something less controversial. Did you know that Tim Burton was from America?
Yes.
I thought he was British this whole time. He just had such a British vibe about him.
Hmm.
Like old creepy, like everything, like, you know, like Edward Scissorhands and all of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And like, I don't know, everything has just like British vibes. Maybe it's because he was like with Helena Bonham Carter for so long. Found out he was born in California today, and it like broke my mind with like a tiny bit, you know?
Hmm.
But the controversial thing I was going to say is I don't think I like Ewan McGregor.
Well, really, yeah.
He annoys me.
Yeah, in this movie, definitely.
In a lot of movies.
Yeah.
He's annoying.
Yeah. I don't like a lot of the people. I do like the woman who plays Josephine, Marion Cotillard.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I quite like Billy Crudup, who plays the son.
Yeah,
the mean-spirited son. Like, he's in some pretty good stuff. But just like, this movie sucked. I'll say it again. This movie's not good.
No, it's not.
It doesn't know what it wants to be. It's weird. It's like really racist a lot of the time. None of the characters are particularly likable, except for Danny DeVito, and that's just because he's Danny DeVito.
Oh my God, when Danny DeVito came on screen, I was like, of course Danny DeVito's in this movie.
So it's like a weirdly stacked cast too. It's like Ewan McGregor and like Steve Buscemi and Danny DeVito and Marion, however you say her last name, the French one.
Yeah.
And the chick from American Horror Stories in it. It's just like all of these people. And I'm like, why? Helena Bonham Carter's there. I'm like, why are we doing this, you guys?
Yeah, Helena Bonham Carter is multiple characters in it, although I guess they're kind of the same character.
And I'm pretty sure it has like a 75% on Rotten Tomatoes, which makes even less sense to me. because that means that a lot of people liked it. You know what I mean? Like, wow. Like, I don't know. I'm confused. I watched it. I was mad I had to watch it. It had very few redeeming qualities.
Yeah. I did like, he doesn't really like do that much, but Deep Roy, who plays, he then plays the Oompa Loompas in Tim Burton's.
Yeah.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
He also, well, not him, but the guy from The Office is in it, who plays Pam's fiance in the first season. That guy cannot catch a break. Everything he's in, he just plays characters who get their fiance stolen from them.
What's so funny is, like, I was watching it and I couldn't place him for some reason. I was like, I just know that I don't like him.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, he literally just, like, I remember I've seen them in something else as well, where just the same thing happens. And yeah. I'm like, this dude just exists to have more charismatic people around him and make them look better.
Totally. It's too bad for him. Yeah. Weird that it, like...
The fact that they tried to cast Ewan McGregor, like, I understand they wanted the same character to play the young version of him. But he was playing an 18-year-old and he looked solidly 40 the whole time. Like, at least put a little effort into, like, some makeup, Tim Burton. Like, I don't know. But maybe cast someone who looks 18 and not 30. It's just, it was a lot. And it just made me mad. And then Miley Cyrus was in it for, like, a second.
When was Miley Cyrus?
She was when they were singing Amazing Grace. She played someone and she was really little and it went past her. That's she was, like, 8. Was very cute.
I didn't notice that. Okay, this is one of the things is, like, the love story obviously is, like, one of these things where, like, this guy decides that he's going to marry a woman and then is, like, actually really creepy about it and then somehow still ends up with her,
like, stalks her incessantly.
Yeah, and then the scene with the daffodils where then he and Roy get in the fight. He's Roy. Get in the fight. I was like, wait, remember when women have made it, like, incredibly clear that, like, we don't want men to, like, start punching each other if they both like the same girl, and yet, like, every single guy has always done that. Like, women wanting, saying, like, actually, we don't like this has never changed a single man's behavior.
Yeah.
And then my big question, whatever, I think I've made it clear that I don't really like movies that are just, like, about white men, but
oh yeah, no, definitely
something that I find concerning about this movie is, why does this man have this much trauma over his father, like, embellishing some stories?
Yeah, I agree. I'm like, I'm not sold enough on your childhood being horrible when you had very loving parents and grew up in a giant house and it was just your dad liked to tell you stories about big fish. And this guy's like, my life sucks. I'm going to stop speaking to my dad for this.
Right.
I also, what was I going to say? Oh, I feel like sometimes I give movies the benefit of the doubt when they're made in the past, when they're, like, racist or sexist and problematic in different ways, especially if they're comedies, because, like, I can understand sort of how our comedy, like, our sense of comedy has shifted and humor has evolved. But this movie is not a comedy. This movie is so earnest, and I think that's why the problematic shit annoyed me even more. It's because it's a really earnest movie, and so all of the problematic elements to it, like that, that's it's either it's A, like, that's the only humor it is, like, it's there to be the joke and it's not part of a joke, or it's, like, not a joke at all and it's just, like, really racist sometimes, you know.
I think it is supposed to kind of be a comedy.
It's not funny, but it's, I don't think there's it's like, it's not funny in the slightest. Like, it's like I said, it's like this weird earnestness because it's, like, almost a fairy tale. It's weird. I didn't like it.
Right. Well, and it just, yeah, I just felt like I kept feeling like we're not focused on the right character. Like, I'm like, interested in like what's going on with the circus. I'm interested in what's going on, like the mom. Like I'm interested in like I don't know. Like, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not.
When comedy, fantasy, comedy, drama.
That's too many things, and they clearly like you kind of have three. Like, I'll give you two, and they have to get rid of the comedy because it's not a comedy.
Yeah, I just like, yeah, this kid needs therapy.
It's also just that movie where, like, the women only exist to serve the men in this story.
100%.
Which is, like, it's fine to have side characters. It's fine to have supporting characters. But, again, I don't care about them that much. No, I'm not, like, if they had made it more worth investing in, I don't think I'd care as much. But like, I just don't, I don't care for the men.
Right. And as far as the fantasy piece, like it just doesn't do like that good of a job of like world building or anything that like, I don't know, like this town of Spectre is where you're supposed to go when you're dead kind of, but then like, yeah, they never really like, it doesn't really seem like there's that strong of a like mythology that's connecting like the different pieces, right? And it's like,
yeah,
there are like a few fantastic elements like the fish thing and the, but there's actually like not that much fantasy in it, except that like I guess the wife, it was supposed to be a mermaid, like there's like some, anyway, that's why I'm like, I'm more interested in that story, like who is this woman, where did she come from, like why, yeah. Why is he like, she's both a fish and not a fish, and I don't know.
I think it's also like my computer's heating up. This fan is whirring. Wow. What was I gonna say? Oh, like I think it, when I was reading about it online and it calls it vignettes, I think that's the best way to describe it because it feels so disjointed, all of these different stories, and like the only thing that connects them is the fact that Ewan McGregor's there in all of them. And so it just feels like a bunch of really small short films in a movie rather than a cohesive narrative a lot of the time.
Yeah. And yet it felt kind of boring. Like I was bored watching this movie.
Yeah, I watched it on 1.5 speed because I didn't want to, like, because it was bad. Okay, I'd taken my melatonin, so.
So we have a limited amount of time before that sets in.
It's not, it usually takes like 45 minutes and we don't have that amount of time.
Wait, I have to, maybe I should say this at the end. I don't know where to put this in the podcast, but I'm just going to say it now. That I posted, there's like quite a DVD collection in the house that I'm staying at.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, which I was like, which one should I do the DVD extras on? And I got some suggestions, none that were that compelling, slash like I've mostly wanted to be by the pool. So I haven't done anything with that, but someone responded and was like, this is basically just the Disney Plus library. And to that person, I say, the reason I posted is because we were talking last week about the DVD extras specifically that you do not get on Disney Plus.
It's true. I miss like, yeah, I miss like logging on and like exploring a DVD, like all the different menus.
Yeah.
And seeing it, making sure that they had deleted scenes and the gag reel and like bloopers and making sure they had like those random like featurette videos. Yeah. I agree. Bring it back. Bring back the DVD.
Sometimes there were games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to learn so much about movies because all I would do is like listen to the different commentaries. Like when you'd go bored of like watching a movie, you'd watch it with the commentary from like the random cast members.
Kids today don't understand because like there's so much content out there now that like why would you sit down and like watch it, like go through a DVD's menus and extras, but like you don't understand when you used to get the DVD, that was like a thing, like that there were extras, and yeah,
they just don't get it.
The experience of the packaging, like the Borat DVD. Have we ever talked about this? This should be a different pop culture moment, but maybe I'll just tell the story now. The Borat DVD came and it looks like somebody, like copied it, like made
your
it
dad look like
a copy.
Is that when your dad thought it was that someone had stolen the Borat DVD?
Yeah, I like threw a party at my house when I was 15, and when my parents were out of town, and one of the things that I got in trouble for, my dad like got really mad because he was like somebody took my Borat DVD and left me this copy. And I was like, no, that's actually how it came. Like, it was this weird thing where like we had drunkenly been like at the end of the night, like, let's watch Borat.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Bring back DVDs. You just start buying them again. Also, because like now there's this whole controversy that like people are there's two different things. It's like shows are re-editing episodes like years later, like what's happening with Stranger Things. Like they were going into it and like uploading new like cuts of episodes.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like recently it came out that they were doing that, and everyone was like really annoyed by it. The other thing is that a lot of shows like a lot of shows that relied on music, now that they're streaming on different sites, have different music playing in the background because the royalties are too expensive to keep paying for like the same song or whatever it was.
Whoa.
And so they've got, and I think I saw it was with Scrubs. And so you've got, it's different, right? It's a completely different vibe. And so you should be relying on DVDs because they can't go in and edit that.
Wow.
They haven't invented a way to do that yet.
What did they change in Stranger Things?
I have no idea. I think they changed the scene in like one of the first episodes where Jonathan's taking photos of Steve and Nancy. And so I think they made it that he wasn't explicitly taking photos of them or something. Hmm. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, because then he's a main character.
Exactly.
Instead of just a creepy side character.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on, my breakfast delivery is here. Thanks, babe.
What is it for breakfast?
It's a bagel. It's a bagel.
What's on the bagel?
Just butter.
Bacon.
Bagel with butter. Delicious. Hello, hi.
I made miso soup tonight and no one else liked it but me, and it was delicious.
Oh, why did nobody else like it?
No one in my family likes tofu.
Hmm. They're big meat eaters.
Yeah. And fish eaters.
Hmm.
Okay, should we do some comparisons?
Is that some good ASMR? Did you like that?
I did. I like that crunch. Clearly, it's a nice toasty bagel.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's do some comparisons.
Okay. So the first one is that In this movie, this character, this guy, is really mad at his dad for telling the same stories again and again throughout his life, and apparently that's ruined his life. And we're in a book where we're just repeating all of these stories again and again. Like I said, like nothing really felt new this week because it's just like we've been told the same stuff by Moshe. It's only slightly different every time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the big comparison. It's pretty straightforward. I did feel like watching this movie, it really did feel like there were a lot of lines in the movie that spoke to like, what are we doing? Like the idea that like he told these amazing stories and it like made him immortal kind of thing. I'm like, oh, what
is
that? Like, especially because there's this idea in Judaism that it's like you don't die until, or like the real death is like the last time someone says your name, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about like Moshe, right? Like it's just this, like so much of this movie is just this guy on his deathbed trying to connect with his son and daughter-in-law. And we're at this point where it's like, yeah, it makes sense. Moshe's giving a really long last speech because he knows by the end of it he has to go up a mountain and die. Like he's stretching this bitch out for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's also something there about like Moshe's like knowledge of his own death versus like, right, that's the whole thing in this movie is he's like, oh, this isn't how I die. And then he is like able to overcome some different challenges because of that. I feel like that's also this like foreshadowing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think like literally the only thing this movie has going for it is like the thought process I had to go through afterwards in order to make this podcast. Like I was thinking of like I think so much of Devarim and like breaking down the themes of Devarim is like why are we repeating ourselves? Like why are we going through this like redux and why are we sort of changing it slightly every time? And I've just been thinking about like what do we gain? Like why do we tell stories? Like what are we passing on through those stories? Why is Moshe spending all of this time right now with the people going through every single one of their mistakes and going through all of the highs and telling them like, you just got to persevere, you just got to do this, you just got to do that. They're still like a teeny tiny baby nation. Like they need to hear these stories again and again. They need someone to drill it in.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think like also like tiny changing of details in a story, like in order to make the story like better or more memorable or all of those things, like totally resonates.
Yeah. I also think if it's like, if you're trying to like teach a lesson or something in that moment, so you change the story to sort of like match your needs. I feel like that's also what's happening a bit. But yeah, I don't know. I just, lots to think about.
I feel like this podcast has been an exploration about like, are all stories basically like the same?
Yeah. I was telling my brother, like just, it is so easy to just make a movie comparison because the Torah is archetypes, right? Like it's like the blueprint of certain basic character forms and story forms. And so you can just compare a lot to it.
Totally.
That and also 2001 A Space Odyssey. Those are the two foundational texts that all other texts are built on.
Ugh, I hate that.
But it's true, right? Like The Simpsons got it from 2001 A Space Odyssey. Wally got it from it. Like Smart House got it from it.
Yeah.
All Evil Homes.
That was last week, Shoshana. We're over.
All Evil Homes. The only other comparison I have is like I feel like the dad's relationship with the mum is really central to all of his stories. If you had to try and find a through line through this like mess of a movie, I think it was about his love for her. Like that's all, like all of his stories were surrounding that, like leading him to being with his wife and son type thing. And I think that just like you can parallel that with Moshe's relationship with God or Moshe's relationship with the people and sort of his, like all of the stories that Moshe's telling are about what he's done with the people as they've been going through the desert together. Yeah. And like sort of just like that connection being his through line. But yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wonder like what, like who in the Torah is the son who's like, you're lying to me. You're not, this is not just in the service of a good story.
Is this movie just that TikTok sound of like, you are like Papa?
Yeah.
Who in the Torah is the angry son who thinks his father's lying? I was thinking like either like Cain, just like that sort of son vibes, or I don't think there's proof in the text for this, but the vibes of the story of Shimshon, of like the whole bit with Shimshon's parents, where like this angel comes to his mother and tells her everything, and then the wife goes to the husband and is like, this angel came and said, and like repeats everything, and then he's like, I don't believe you, and so like he keeps questioning his wife, and he has to see the angel for himself, and then like Shimshon is a character who has, he's a slut. And he treats women badly. And I think like that sort of, you know, he's his father's son, it feels like. in terms of the way he treats women, and his mother is never named. So I'd say like that vibe, like he has this vibe, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, wow, this movie just pisses me off that it's like so much that like love story is so central to it. And yet like, I can't tell you one character trait of the woman.
I couldn't tell you.
I don't even know her name.
I don't think she didn't speak about anything other than being like, you know, so not all of your father's stories are lies. And like, that's her only line.
Yeah.
This movie. Yeah. The more I think about it, the more annoyed I am.
Yeah.
It's fine. We've got a good week next week, hopefully.
Yeah, I am excited about next week. Should we tell the people what we're doing?
I'll let you do it.
So next week, we're watching both of the Fyre Festival documentaries.
Yeah.
Which is funny. I was like, wow, this last couple weeks have really been about like white men. And now here we go again.
Yeah. This is like facing the final boss of the white men. And then afterwards, maybe we can move on. What's after Fyre Festival? Mm-hmm. Nope, never mind.
What are we doing after it?
Spotlight.
Shut the fuck up.
But after that, it's good. After that, it's fine.
Great.
Okay. Anything else to add?
I don't think so. If you had to cast Ewan McGregor as anybody in Tanakh, who would it be?
Ewan McGregor. I'd cast him as Yiftach, the guy who is like the next thing that comes out of my house on return. I will give as a sacrifice to God. And then it's his daughter who comes out of the house and he has to give her as a sacrifice to God.
Nice. Love that.
It's a crazy story. I just think that like two characters that suck, you know?
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor and Yiftach.
Put him
who together. Would you cast him as?
Maybe Hevel.
Nice. Ew, no. Hevel's supposed to be a good character.
But I think of him as being like overly like
joy.
Yeah,
that's fair. I was gonna ask who would you cast Helena Bonham Carter as, but like I feel like the only right answer to that question is the Witch of Endor.
Of course.
But yeah, so never mind.
Helena Bonham Carter got a lot of play in this movie.
It's her peak like Tim Burton nepotism phase. Was during this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. This movie sucks. If there's one thing the little burps take away from this, it's that don't watch this movie.
Yeah. It's not good. Here's the thing. When we like decided to watch it for the podcast, I knew that I didn't like this movie.
I had never seen it.
But it works with like the thing about like the conversation we're having about telling stories and retelling stories and all.
Oh, it definitely works. It just sucks.
Yeah.
It can be both.
Yeah. 1 out of 10, do not recommend unless you want to be angry.
I really don't recommend. But I'm going to go to bed because I'm getting tired.
Okay. Night, night, shall we?
See you guys next week for Fyre Festival.
I'm excited. Bye, little burps.
Bye, little burps. Bye.
Bye.